Hello and welcome to another episode of In Conversation with Expo Stars. This week we're joined by Don Colliver. He is an ex-clown for Blue Man Group. He's a presenter on the trade show floor of over 25 years experience, and he currently teaches presenting at Google nonetheless. In this episode, I discuss with Don his new book launch, which is called Wink, Transforming Public Speaking with Clown Presence. We talk about some of the mistakes that people make on the trade show floor, and we look at strategies and ideas in terms of how to improve the trade show presentations. So please enjoy the episode, and I'll see you later on. Hi, Don. How are you?
Hello, Lee. I'm doing great. How's everything over in the UK today?
Yeah, it's wet and miserable, as always, in Manchester. But obviously, it's, you know, whatever the weather, we always find a way to feel good about ourselves. So,
yeah. Well, that's important. Very
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us all the way from the West Coast, I believe.
Yes, I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's gorgeous here. It's morning time for us. It's about 60 degrees Fahrenheit, I think, Celsius. I think that's 450 degrees Celsius.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how to do the...
Yeah, somewhere around that region.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking all things trade show engagement today with Don. Now, Don has actually written a book called Transforming Public Speaking with Clown Presence. So Don, would you mind telling us a bit more about this book and what inspired you to actually write it?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, thanks for asking about Wink. It just made number one on Amazon in public speaking and speech writing, so I'm proud of that. Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, as you mentioned, I speak at trade shows primarily for tech companies, a lot of medical companies here in the States pretty often. And I lead trade show engagement, booth staff training too. But in addition, I'm here in Silicon Valley and I teach public speaking at Google and at various other tech companies here in the Bay Area. And over pandemic, this completely obviously shifted to virtual. And as I was developing this curriculum for virtual, I started realizing that what I was teaching was different than other public speaking courses, because I have a big background in Toastmasters, competition speeches, that sort of thing. But I also, I think as you mentioned, I was a clown. I was a blue man and I toured for the Cirque partner Spiegelworld as a host clown through North America. And I teach clown up here in the Bay Area. And I was realizing that my public speaking courses had actually a lot of clown type training in it to help people connect and engage better with their audiences. And I found it really, really transformational for specifically these engineering type folks or people who weren't used to speaking in front of people, sometimes non-native speakers who are very concerned about grammar. It was really helpful for these people to really kind of show up and be themselves and really engage authentically with their audiences. And so that's what kind of inspired me to start to put this down in paper, because I thought it was really helpful. And from kind of a mission standpoint, there's so much insincerity going on in the media right now and lack of trust like this. It just feels really necessary for the world. And so that kind of helped me just sit down and do the torturous effort of writing a book.
Oh, fantastic. How was the process?
It was challenging. It was challenging, but I'll tell you, like so many other things, I found that by creating a accountability group of peers who are also writing nonfiction books, that was the secret. Mm-hmm. Just showing up every couple weeks and not criticizing, not giving feedback, just supporting each other. Like, how did you do? Did you get some pages done? That's the only way I made it through. I would not have done it alone.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned obviously clown presence, and it's always been my opinion that clowns get a really bad rep because a lot of the language that we use in English, it's, you know, very negative. So things like, oh, will you stop clowning around for God's sake? And mm-hmm. all of this negative language. So I'm really pleased that you've taken a positive spin and obviously, you know, put clowns in a positive light, so to speak.
Well, it's, I mean, I call it clown presence because yes, there's a ton of baggage with clowns, especially in the States, because we've got Pennywise, Stephen King's crazy murder clown, understandable. And I think it is creepy. Like, I remember when I was a kid, there was a place here called Chuck E. Cheese's, and it's like a kid's place with video games. And there'll be people in big costumes wandering around. You can't see their face. And that they always used to kind of creep me out because you can't see the human's face. I don't know if they're smiling, if they're mad. And I think I feel the same thing about someone in like really heavy face makeup. I don't really know what's going on. Yeah. So that's the opposite of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about removing all the makeup and really being present and authentic when you're showing up. And it makes it a lot easier to connect and engage. And I think that's the connection into trade shows too.
Yeah. Okay. So talking of trade shows, let's talk about the essence of engaging face-to-face with attendees. So companies obviously spend a lot of money dressing up their booth and, you know, getting people to notice them. But they get the biggest thing wrong, which is the face-to-face. Okay. So what kind of mistakes have you seen on the trade show floor? Like myself, obviously, you've probably walked, you know, thousands of miles on the trade show floor and I've seen.
Yeah, we should talk about shoes. What is your, I'm a big Echo fan myself. I have found, especially if you're in one of those booths where there's no cushion between the cement and the carpet, God, please have you, hope you have good shoes. Anyway, sorry, divergent there.
Yeah. Secret of trade show success is definitely shoes.
Yeah, indeed.
So, yeah, as I was just saying, what are the common mistakes that booth reps or booth staff are actually making when engaging with the attendees walking past in terms of that first engagement, if you like?
Sure, sure. And I'm sure you can really speak to this too, because I know you are extremely experienced in training these folks and stuff. But from my perspective, in terms of the three biggest challenges I see, first of all, training or picking the right people to be your first engagers. That's so critical. Like, as you can, I'm sure you agree, that first moment is so critical. I can get into more of that in a second. Secondly is visibility. A lot of times the designs of the booths, it blocks a bunch of areas, and although it can look really great probably in the 3D model, in the actual experience of the trade show, a crowd brings a crowd, and people who seem like they're having good conversations bring a crowd. And if it's all blocked off, you know, you'll have customers that you've previously made bookings with will show up, but nobody else is going to just kind of wander in.
Absolutely.
So that, and then lastly, in terms of presentations, presentations that are too long, it'll just kill. It kills. And I get it. I get it. Like, the engineers and everybody wants to cram all those features in there. I get it.
Yeah.
But there's a way to make the group presentation kind of the draw, and then the demos can go into the weeds.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the three primary challenges I see.
Yeah. So in terms of the presentations, do you think those really heavy presentations are actually necessary on the trade show booth, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes long with a lot of technical data. Is the content more important than the actual engagement in terms of how you deliver those messages?
Well, I think if, I'm sure you have an opinion on this. I think if you are building a theater in your booth, I think 7 minutes is the absolute longest it should be. And it should really be showtime. Because once you get past the really high level, I think then you're talking about specific customer problems, and that should be a dialogue. Rather, because you're just by the nature of communication, if you're speaking one to many, you can't get and address their specific problems in that large scale situation. So I think building presentations so there are swells of maybe the audience reacts, maybe the audience has a moment to stand or clap or cheer. As you know, when somebody's given away a drone on the show floor, there's a big mob of people and more people come. And that has nothing to do with the product, of course, or the service that you're selling. But that's just the nature of showbiz, which is what the expo floor is. It's showbiz. And, you know, it can get too much. Like RSA, for example, pre-pandemic, it was becoming deafening on there because everybody was cranking up the lights and the audio, and then the show folks have to keep everybody down, which is understandable. So it's leaning more towards high level, speaking very high level. What can we do to get people in the booth and hopefully drop some little seeds of like, do you have this problem? Do you have this specific problem? Do you have this specific problem? And having subject matter experts stationed around the theater that once it's done, they can swoop in and have one-on-one or one-on-two or three conversations to speak one-to-one with those folks.
Absolutely. I think it's all about creating that positive energy on the booth, isn't it? Because nobody likes a dead booth with people looking miserable and they don't want to be there, right? So the more showbiz and the more positive energy you can create, the more you're going to attract those people who are just walking past and just are curious as to what's going on here. Okay, now I want to look, because people are naturally curious, aren't they?
Totally.
Excellent.
And I think there's a lot of thought that can be, or some thought that can be put into, what is the tone of this presentation? Personally, with my clown background, I'm all about authenticity, vulnerability. I think that the ideal presentation, like kind of the holy grail, the unicorn, if you will, in tech shows, there's sales engineers, right? These are people who are very knowledgeable technically, and they also are used to presenting demos. If you can have someone who is a great speaker, yet also very intelligent in terms of the product and technology, but they also can show their vulnerable side. Like the perfect example, do you know what I mean when I say dad jokes in the UK?
I make them
like
all
really,
the time.
Yes, that's the perfect example, because you can say a dad joke, make fun of yourself, yet still be highly knowledgeable about the product that you're talking about. So you're kind of functioning on two levels. You're saying, I'm a human, I can relate to you with imperfection, but I also am extremely knowledgeable and I can solve your problem. I think the challenge becomes if you have a completely polished presenter or some kind of show that's flawless, it makes me personally start to be a little bit dubious about this feels insincere. I want to see sincerity. I want to see authenticity on the floor.
Now you talk about vulnerability in your book, and I mean, how important do you think that booth staffers have that vulnerability and actually talk to people on a human level rather than actually switch on a persona that is so polished and sales-like?
That's, I mean, this getting into deep stuff, because as you know, working on an expo floor and greeting people walking down the aisle is, you're going to get a lot of no's, and it really can beat people up if you haven't built up some resilience. So it's actually a wonderful place to work on your personal crap, if you will, because a lot of people are going to ignore you. Yeah. So a lot of what I talk about in the book is it's the five P's, but the first P is personal confidence. And the baseline of that is do what you need to do to realize you are already enough. Like, you don't need this person to smile back at your joke or come into your booth to make you feel okay as a human. Because if you need validation from those folks walking by, you are going to be a mess by lunchtime on that day one, okay? But if you are confident enough, if you can build up that emotional intelligence and being aware of yourself, that's so attractive. Like, because you're able to kind of make fun of yourself, which I think that's the best way to engage people walking down the aisle, yeah, is to kind of have fun with them at your own expense, or talking about a shared experience, talking about when's lunch, or where did you go for lunch? Like, something about the shared experience is such a great way to engage, that isn't like a pat line of like, which you can smell from a mile away. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, what I always recommend to booth staffers is to, and again, this is such a big kind of anti-exhibiting thought, if you like, because companies are paying a lot of money to be showcasing their services. And then when you actually say to them, don't talk about yourself for the first 3 to 4 minutes, they're saying, what are you on? You know, we've spent lots and lots of money and we're actually present and we want to talk about and showcase our products, and you're telling us not to talk about ourselves. What's going on? But it's important to actually put the audience first, right?
Totally. And I mean, I'm sure you can speak to this as well, that you're starting a relationship. I'm sure it's different in different kinds of businesses, but I don't know how many sales happen in the booth. You're starting a conversation. Yeah. And so it's so critical to start that conversation, right? And yeah, let someone else will close a yeah, couple steps down the line.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it is a process. And I think with exhibitors, one of the things that always breaks down is the process on the booth, the journey, the attendee journey. And one of the core things an event planner should be doing is planning that journey from saying hello to the next step, all the way to the follow-up process. Yeah. And where it always falls down is when exhibitors come and exhibit and they don't actually have a process in place. Somebody turns up and says, hello, tell me a bit more about what you're doing. And then your booth reps give a 15-minute, 10-minute pitch. And then the attendee goes, well, thanks very much. That was interesting, but do you have a freebie? And they walk off. But if you actually had an attendee journey defined and you know what each stage was. So obviously the first thing is saying hello. How do we optimize that in terms of saying hello? And then what is the next step after saying hello? Maybe the presentation. Okay, and after the presentation, it might be the arranging a follow-up call or an email and then collecting the data. But if you don't have these processes, then the communication is going to be all over the place then, isn't it?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like participants or attendees want to feel, this is kind of a touchy-feely word, but they want to feel held when they come in that booth. And like, you've got it, you've got them.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, frankly, the first engagers don't know the product that well. Yeah. And that's just the nature of how it is. But they should absolutely know who to hand that person off to. And that interaction should be smooth as silk. They should know to get the person's name. They should know the expert's name, and they should make that introduction. And it should feel like the customer or the prospect is held through every step of that process.
Absolutely.
Because I know me, if I was doing that and it feels awkward, I as a prospect start to feel like I need to take care of what's going on. Like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll find the person. But I feel like they should, once they step in that booth, you got them. Like, we got it. I can answer your questions. I know who can answer your questions. Let me bring you over to that person.
Absolutely. And I think it's always good to actually have key objectives at each stage as well. In terms of, again, in your book, you talk about think, feel, and do. Okay, what do you want that person to think when they first meet you? Maybe that your goal may be to build trust in that first initial conversation. Because everybody has an invisible wall up where they actually don't want to be sold to. So you have to obviously remove those barriers. And once you've removed those barriers, that's when you actually have the trust, because they're saying to you, tell me more, I am interested. What have you got for me?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm curious. You do. How do you train these folks when you've got like a person who's not familiar with the product and they're starting from zero? How do you get them up to speed?
Yeah, we focus on the human level. We don't, like I said to you before, the key goal is not to understand, you know, the product. The key goal is to understand people. Okay, so our goal when we're present when one of our staffers works at a trade show booth, it's all about that personal engagement. Okay, stopping somebody, removing the barrier. Okay, to that engagement, creating that trust, building that initial relationship, and then handing over to a booth rep who can actually answer all of the technical questions. So our goal is to understand who the attendee is, what they're, why they're actually attending the exhibition, and what their business challenges are. And once we've identified that information, the rest then is up to the technical people, because we obviously are not experts in the product. Yes, we understand who the target audience could be. We understand what the elevator pitch and what the USPs are of the client. But if somebody asks us to go into detail, that takes, you know, some products, obviously in the Silicon Valley, like, for example, artificial intelligence software and all of this, that can take 3 to 6 months to learn. and you need particular types of people to be able to understand and take on board that information. But the key thing, again, is to look at the types of personalities that you actually need on the booth. So a typical technical person, for example, they might not be confident in terms of engaging with people, but they're very good with the product knowledge. So what you need at the front end is someone who is not afraid to take a step forward and actually stop somebody in their tracks and say hello and build that initial relationship. Whereas somebody who is highly technical, they would actually excel at doing a great presentation and answering those technical questions. So it's we have a phrase here in the UK called horses for courses. I'm not sure whether you've heard about that.
I have not.
Okay. So basically it's having the right people for the right task. Okay. Mm. And that's where we talk about when you build that attendee journey on the booth, you've got to have the right personalities to be able to do that task effectively.
Indeed, indeed. And I know, there is a danger with those first engagers to imply knowledge, because I know I would almost say most of the people who ask me questions on the floor aren't really, they already know the answer. They're more poking to see if I know the answer. And once I get them with like a fellow nerd, frankly, I'm a nerd, but a person who really wants to go deep, they are so happy. All they want to do is talk weird, deep technology stuff. And that's like a perfect way to build that trusting relationship, which then they may reveal their real issue that they need to work on. Because certainly I do a lot of cybersecurity conferences, and people like to just talk about that stuff a lot of times. And a lot of the presentations are about exciting things that have happened, or breaches, or how breaches have been foiled, or how breaches happened. And people just like to talk about that. It's interesting. And I think that's the perfect way for, if you can get that person from the aisle into the booth to talk to the expert, that's the perfect way to really put the company in the light that you're looking to show yourself as.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, booth staffers obviously need to be honest and not actually blag. And that's a mistake that, again, what I find is that a lot of sales reps can actually make. They're used to being out in the field and actually having a technical person with them. But when that person isn't there, that's when the blagging starts, and that's when you get into trouble, isn't it? So I think having that vulnerability and having that confidence, like you said before, to say, I'm not the technical person. The person that you need to talk to is right here, and I'll be pleased to actually introduce you. And the visitor then doesn't feel that they're having the wool pulled over their eyes, or, you know, you don't feel that mistrust then, do you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And another thing I like to say in my booth staff training sessions is it's great to have a few stories in your back pocket because you may not be technical, but you may have some customer stories and problems that your company or your technology has solved. And I like to say it feels like something not on the website, like that they're getting special. Like, this was worthwhile for me to fly to Las Vegas because I learned this thing I could not get on their website. Yeah. It feels, I love seeing folks in booths share these. And it doesn't have to be, obviously not proprietary or secret information, but just something that feels like a personal story can really make it seem, I'm so glad I stopped by this booth today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's also a growing trend in that a lot of exhibitors are actually taking their customers and actually having them man the booth because they can actually share those personal experiences.
Yeah. I've seen that a lot in presentations, like I'll be emceeing or doing a pitch, and then at 3 p.m., you know, customer A is going to do a 7-minute kind of case study of how we work together or something like that.
Yeah. All right. As always, in this case, we are running short of time. I could continue this conversation with you all day and all night, I guess. I want you to share, obviously, with all the things that you've seen, what are the one or two things the biggest mistakes that you've seen people make? Can you share any stories where something is completely, totally wrong?
Not really. I don't like to take apart other booths. I mean, that's so easy to do. I mean, let's face it, but everybody's out there learning and getting better. I would say just if you are exhibiting at a show, definitely take an hour and walk the floor and see what's working. Yeah. Because every year this stuff changes, man. Every year the thing that's pulling people in changes. There are certain aspects that are always the same, but it's great to be aware of what's happening. Like, I just was at, where was I? Black Hat, and there was a boxing ring, and they had boxers doing an exhibition boxing match on the show floor. Like, what? Yeah. But the funny thing is, it really wasn't getting many people to watch. So I'm like, all right, noted. So it's really interesting. So that's super helpful. I'd advise that. Booth staff training, even if it's just a short thing to get your first engagers present in the moment, is so incredibly helpful. And let's see, I guess just keep an eye on the length of those presentations. Someone's got to say, we got to cut this down. Someone's got to be the bad guy in those things. But after the end of the first day, everybody's going to look and be like, this thing's too long. Like, and at that point, who's going to edit it? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's good to take care of that in the top. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, all right. And one last tip from you. What are your tips on how to choose the best presenter to deliver the message? If you have a presentation on the booth, how do you decide whether an outside professional will be better or somebody internal? How do you make that decision?
Well, that's a tough call. If you have one of those unicorns, like a product expert that is a wonderful speaker, who can also has the confidence to pause the presentation, address whatever's going on in the booth theater, that is the holy grail. That's incredible. If you have someone who needs to stay focused on their script and anything that happens, that actually might cost you negatively in terms of the impression on the show floor, because that's not the place for that. There are other great, like a webinar might be better for that kind of person. It's more showtime and engagement on the show floor. So in that case, you might want to reach out to a trained professional. But I do have an exercise, I'm glad you brought this up, that can help if someone's training for a trade show. If they go to doncolliver.com/expo, there's a free exercise you can run. It takes four people, and it basically trains your presenter to get through the content while at the same time responding to what's going on to his listeners or their listeners, which is the most important thing on the trade show, especially happy hour when they roll out the beer carts, because you're going to get some hecklers in there. So you have to be cool with it. You have to be ready to roll with it. Because frankly, if I see a presenter who can roll with something weird that's going on, I'm on board. Whatever you have to say, you clearly are confident and know your stuff.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much, Don, for your insights, valuable insights. And look forward to seeing you on the trade show floors very soon.
Thanks so much, Lee. Take it easy.
Thank you. Wow, what a great conversation with Don there. I think he shared some great ideas, and I love the fact that he talked about vulnerability and authenticity. Being yourself on the trade show floor is very important, and this is what truly connects us with our audience, not just the sales message that we try to get across. So being vulnerable, being authentic, on the trade show floor was the key takeaway for me. I really hope you enjoyed the episode, and join us again on our next episode with more guests where we're talking about engagement on the trade show floor. Thank you for joining us, and have a great week.